Today, I want to focus on the world's most dangerous and murderous terrorist. His name is Ariel Sharon, and he makes Osama bin Laden look like an amateur when it comes to murder and mayhem. But first, there's a pressing matter that needs to be addressed. In the Palestinian refugee camp of Jenin, the stench of hundreds of rotting human bodies fills the air. Surviving mothers and fathers search through the rubble of hundreds of homes to recover the remains of their sons and daughters. And many sons and daughters wander dazed through the carnage, trying to find their own mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers. Thousands of young men have been taken away by Israel and at this moment suffer terrible torture in Israel's concentration camps. However, their cries of anguish and pain will not be heard by any of us. Even after the complete destruction of this refugee camp, even as hundreds lay injured and without food, water, electricity, even as mothers had to watch their children die slowly from their wounds, Israel would not permit any Red Cross or other relief agencies into the camp. The world's press was kept out. Of course, there was only one reason for keeping out the eyes and the ears of the world. Israel's war criminals had to work hard to cover up their horrendous crimes at Jenin. They wanted the world to see no pictures of those murdered and maimed. Strange, isn't it? That even after 55 years since the end of the Second World War, the Jewish supremacists still show us almost daily the poignant pictures of the Jewish bodies in Nazi concentration camps. But they are ever so anxious that the world does not see the mass murdered Palestinian victims of Zionism, murders that are happening right now. Of course, they graphically show any Israeli killed or injured by suicide bombers, but you will not see the 100 Palestinian men, women, and children who die for every one Israeli. You won't see the thousands of Palestinians who are imprisoned and tortured by Israel. And don't expect the Palestinian victims of torture who survive to be interviewed by the Jewish-dominated press in America. The Palestinian civilians are men, women, and children who are being maimed and murdered by Israel in our own time, in our own world, and many of them at this very moment. And who is the man behind this murder? It is none other than Ariel Sharon. As a loyal and patriotic American, my heart grieves at the support given by American traitors to the world's worst mass murderer and war criminal, Ariel Sharon. Sharon has killed, maimed, and tortured more people than Osama bin Laden could only fantasize about. In fact, I will present to you compelling evidence that Sharon and the Mossad aided and abetted the horrible terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. By supporting Sharon and his criminal government in Israel, American traitors have not only abetted Sharon's crimes against the Palestinian people, but American traitors have become accomplices in mass murder and torture. They also have aided a nation that has inflicted terrorism upon America itself and has damaged our most vital interests in the world. If you think I'm exaggerating when I say Sharon is even worse than Osama bin Laden, please listen carefully to this broadcast. Keep an open mind, and please, please check out every piece of evidence I offer here. Forget what the Jewish press says about me, and focus on the evidence that I offer. I will provide you the sources on everything I say here. Many of my references are themselves from major Jewish sources. Today, I want to sketch a short history of Sharon's 40 years of crimes against humanity, from his massacre at Kibya through his invasion of Lebanon and his massacre at Sabra and Shatila, to his massacre of men, women, and children in the refugee camp at Jenin, Palestine. And as I said, I will even offer compelling evidence of Sharon's complicity in the attack on the World Trade Center. Sharon could be tried for any of a dozen of other massacres committed during his murderous career. His crimes against humanity go back at least as far as 1953. The Israeli newspaper, Haaretz, recalls Sharon's leading of a massacre in the village of Kibya in 1953. I quote from Haaretz: "The soldiers of Major Ariel Sharon killed 70 Palestinians in the reprisal raid, most of them women and children. In Israel, the most brutal, the most extreme and bloodthirsty terrorists always seem to be elevated to Israel's top leadership. Even before Sharon became prime minister, the vicious terrorists responsible for blowing up the King David Hotel in Jerusalem and responsible for the massacre at Deir Yassin, Yitzhak Shamir, and Menachem Begin became Israel's prime ministers. The Palestinians, of course, have faced 50 years of unrelenting Israeli terror. In fact, Israel carved its state out of Palestinian land through a deliberate policy of mass terror against the Palestinian people. It was the method by which they drove 800,000 people from their homes, their businesses, and farms. And, of course, still do not let them return to their land." In his book, The Revolt, former Prime Minister Menachem Begin boasts about his role in the massacre of the 254 Palestinians at Deir Yassin. "Most of the victims were women, children, and the elderly who remained in the Israeli-occupied village." The International Red Cross representative, there on the scene, described how the Jewish terrorists actually cut the babies from the wombs of many pregnant Palestinian women. In his book, Begin points out the sheer horror of Deir Yassin and the other sadistic massacres of the Irgun caused panic among the residents and caused them to flee in terror from their homes. This intentional mass terror enabled the Zionists to take control of Palestine and form the State of Israel. Sharon led the brutal invasion and occupation of Lebanon. Many consider that invasion and brutal occupation as one of the blackest marks on Israeli history. It resulted in the death of at least 17,000 people, mostly civilians, and perhaps is best annotated by the massacre of 1,500 civilians at the Sabra and Shatila camps in Beirut. To prevent any escape, Sharon had his troops surround these Israeli-built concentration camps. Sharon let the Falangist forces in that then proceeded to murder hundreds of men, women, and children. Even the Israeli Kahan Commission found Sharon, quote, "personally responsible," unquote, for the massacre. All night, the shooting and killing and screaming went on inside the camp, while Israeli troops listened gleefully to the slaughter, not raising a finger to stop it and preventing the escape of any Palestinians who would want to flee the massacre. Even after the initial slaughter, many of the men were transported to the Beirut football stadium and then murdered in cold blood by the Israeli troops. A Belgian court is attempting to try Sharon for his crimes against humanity in Lebanon, and Sharon will not even step foot in that country for fear of arrest. Since this case has heated up, there has been the death of three potential witnesses against Sharon. I quote from the world-renowned British journalist Robert Fisk of the London Independent: "Why would anyone want to car bomb the former Lebanese Falangist militia leader and government minister Eli Hobeika in Beirut less than 2 days after he agreed to give evidence against Mr. Sharon in a Belgium court, which may try the Israeli leader for the murder of up to 1,700 Palestinian civilians in the Sabra and Shatila refugee camps in September 1982. Unquote. Even more recently, a key witness against Sharon, another Lebanese phalangist who had command knowledge of the killings at Sabra and Shatila, was gunned down along with his wife in Brazil by someone using a silenced pistol. In Lebanon, 17,000 civilians were killed. More than 100,000 homes were destroyed. At least 100,000 civilians were wounded or maimed. Even more were left homeless. Israel violated United Nations resolutions in aggressively invading and occupying Lebanon. Even the United States supported resolutions denoting Israel as violating international law and demanding Israeli withdrawal. The invasion and murder in Lebanon led by Sharon caused the deaths of about 6 times more people than the World Trade Center attacks and involved the deaths and maiming of thousands of more children than the attacks in America in September. The Israeli bombs in Lebanon fell not just on places of work, such as the World Trade Center, but places where people live with their families. To illustrate the incredible barbarity of this supreme terrorist, I will quote directly from an interview Sharon did with respected Israeli journalist Amos Oz in 1982. Now, this can be found in the Israeli daily newspaper, Devar, and it can be authenticated by many other Jewish sources. When Oz interviewed Sharon, Sharon obviously directed his responses to liberal Jews in Israel, probably not dreaming that this interview would ever get to the outside world. Here are some direct quotes from Sharon in the interview, and I quote. I will quote these excerpts. Even if you prove to me, this is Sharon speaking, by mathematical means that the present war in Lebanon is a dirty, immoral war, I don't care. Moreover, even if you will prove to me that we have not achieved and will not achieve any of our aims in Lebanon, that we will neither create a friendly regime in Lebanon nor destroy the Syrians or even the PLO, even then, I don't care. It was still worth it. Even if Galilee is shelled again by the Katushkas, in a year's time, I really don't care. We shall start another war, kill and destroy more and more until they've had enough. Tell me, do the baddies of this world have a bad time? If anyone tries to touch them, the evil men cut off his hands and legs. They hunt and catch whatever they feel like eating. They don't suffer from indigestion, and they're not punished by heaven. I want Israel to join that club. Maybe the world will then at last begin to fear me instead of feeling sorry for me. Maybe they will start to tremble, to fear my madness instead of admiring my nobility. Thank God for that. Let them tremble. Let them call us a mad state. Let them understand that we are a wild country, dangerous to our surroundings, not normal, that we might go crazy if one of our children is murdered. Just one. That we might go wild and burn all the oil fields in the Middle East. Aye. Let them be aware in Washington, Moscow, Damascus, and China that if one of our ambassadors is shot or even a consul or the most junior embassy official, we might start World War III just like that. If you're nice, civilized parents had come here in time instead of writing books about the love for humanity and singing Hero Israel on the way to the gas chambers. Now don't be shocked. If they instead had killed 6 million Arabs here, or even 1 million, what would have happened? Sure, 2 or 3 nasty pages would have been written in the history books. We would have been called all sorts of names, but we could be here today as a people of 25 million. Even today, I am willing to volunteer to do the dirty work for Israel, to kill as many Arabs as necessary, to deport them, to expel them and burn them, to have everyone hate us, to pull the rug from underneath the feet of the diaspora Jews so that they will be forced to run to us crying. Even if it means blowing up one or two synagogues here or there, I don't care. And I don't mind if after the job is done you put me in front of a Nuremberg trial and then jail me for life. Hang me if you want as a war criminal. What you don't understand is that the dirty work of Zionism is not finished yet. Far from it. Unquote. Sharon made these statements in 1982. And right now, in 2002, he's attempting to finish the dirty work of Zionism. Please notice the attitude Sharon expresses in this interview. He endorses genocide. He threatens World War III. He is utterly ruthless and contemptuous of anyone or anything other than the Jewish people. Note that he also doesn't care if some Jews die in the process. And hatred against Jews, he sees the good thing in the world. In fact, that's precisely what he wants, so as to make them either support Israel more fully or immigrate to Israel. It is in this backdrop from which we must begin to look into the 9/11 terrorist attacks on America. The Mossad has had a long history of covert terrorism and treachery against the United States in the 1950s. Mossad agents of Israel blew up American installations in Egypt in an elaborate scheme to blame the Egyptians for the terrorism against America and thus garner American support against Egypt. Fortunately for the United States and for Egypt, one of the Jewish agents' bombs went off prematurely and the plot was exposed. The Israeli Defense Minister, Pinhas Lavan, had to resign because of the ensuing scandal. Then, during the 1967 war, Israel covertly attacked an American naval vessel, the USS Liberty, in the Mediterranean off the coast of Israel with unmarked planes and torpedo boats in an attempt to sink the American ship and again blame the Egyptians for the massacre. 34 Americans were killed and 173 wounded in this vicious attack. It was only the courage and resourcefulness of the crew that saved the ship and exposed Israel's role in the attack. The two American officials, who were in the best position to know at the time, the Secretary of State, Dean Rusk, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Thomas Moorer, both have stated clearly that the murderous attack by Israel against the American ship was deliberate. But the attack was aggressively covered up by both the government and the media in America. Officers and crews were ordered not to give the media any interviews. And when the captain of the USS Liberty, William McDougall, was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor, for the first time in 100 years, the medal was not awarded in a ceremony at the White House, but was given quietly at the naval yard, simply because traitors in Washington didn't want the American people to know about this Israeli act of terrorism and murder against Americans. Imagine if after the attack on Pearl Harbor, that those who were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor were given the medal quietly, so as not to cause anger against the Japanese. And imagine the men in Congress and the White House who still wanted to give arms and American money to the Japanese. Would they not be deemed traitors? And that is precisely the kind of treason going on in America right now. Israel has also continuously committed espionage against the United States. One of Israel's spies, Jonathan Pollard, did more damage to the United States than probably any other spy in American history. Israel treacherously passed his stolen information to the Soviets and our entire intelligence apparatus in Europe was devastated by Pollard's and Israel's treachery. Israel, by this act, caused the murder of many of America's loyal agents in Eastern Europe. So, my friends, you see, Israel has a long record of both terrorism and treachery against the United States of America. Then last year, in 2001, Ariel Sharon, the world's worst terrorist, became Israel's prime minister. Sharon pledged from the beginning to overturn the Oslo agreements. He's always been in favor of expelling the Palestinians and annexing the West Bank and Gaza for Israel. And Sharon has always been one of the most ruthless murderers in the world, willing to do anything to advance his cause. With this in mind, let's recap the year 2001 up until the bombing of the World Trade Center. 2001 was a very bad year for Israel. The election of Sharon to prime minister was turning much of the world against Israel. The shooting down of protesting children on the West Bank was turning world opinion against Israel. Many nations were beginning to recognize the new nation of Palestine. The United Nations in South Africa deemed Israel as an apartheid state. Sharon and the hawks of Israel were desperate. And Sharon himself faced a war crimes tribunal in Belgium. All that was changed by September 11. Here's the scenario that I believe occurred. Sharon was desperate to create a new covert incident like the Levant affair and the attack on the Liberty. But he needed a Levant affair that would not go wrong. He needed a horrendous event to turn around the world and give him free rein against the Palestinians, and he found that opportunity in Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda. Because of Israel's crimes and American support for Israel, he knew that bin Laden's organization could be guided into horrendous action against America. The Mossad has always prided itself on deep infiltration and penetration into the leadership of every Arab militant group. Every militant group in the world. And for years, Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda was considered the most dangerous group against Israel. There's no doubt that deep penetration of this organization was one of the Mossad's priorities over the past decade. The evidence is that Israel even had some agents directing the 9/11 operation. The 9/11 attacks required tremendous planning and coordination, requiring many participants. According to FBI investigators, at least 100 al-Qaeda in America, the Middle East, and Europe were involved strategically in the 9/11 attacks. The Mossad had penetrated al-Qaeda even here in the United States, and we know for a fact that Israel had penetrated the organization. We even have some of the names and addresses of some of the Israeli agents monitoring the operation. A recently released report by the American DEA, Drug Enforcement Administration, shows that Israeli spies in the United States were closely monitoring at least half of the hijackers immediately prior to the attacks. In fact, amazingly, five Israeli agents actually lived on the same street as the leader of the operation, Mohammed Atta. Israel obviously had big involvement in what went on if at least five Israeli spies were monitoring just one of the leaders. As monstrous as it might seem, the extremists of Israel and Ariel Sharon needed the 9/11 attacks to mobilize Americans against their enemies and give Israel a free hand in dealing with the Palestinians. It was an easy operation for Israel's top agents in al-Qaeda to propose and plan this terrorist operation for the fanatical Muslims who yearned to strike back at America for supporting the crimes of Israel. Unlike the Levant affair, and the attack on the USS Liberty, in which Israeli agents and forces did the attacking, how much simpler and easier and safer it was for Israel, through their agents and infiltrators, to direct their enemies to do their own dirty work. Of course, Sharon and the Mossad knew that only Israel would benefit from the attacks, and that this horrible attack against American citizens would set back the Palestinian and the whole Arab cause tremendously, and which, of course, it has. There is other compelling evidence of the Mossad involvement in the 9/11 attacks. 2 hours prior to the attack, messages were sent to Israeli firms and employees with offices in Israel and in the World Trade Center of the impending attack. The FBI admitted it was investigating the messages received and sent through Israeli firms, including the firm named Odigo. You can confirm this by articles in the Washington Post, Israel Haaretz, and many other newspapers and sources. Secondly, the Israeli death toll in the World Trade Center was impossibly low unless at least some Israeli nationals were warned in advance. Israel's leading newspaper, the Jerusalem Post, the day after the attacks, headlined that 4,000 Israelis were believed to be in the area of the World Trade Center. The involvement of a large number of Israeli nationals in the banking, brokerage, finance, and international trade business of the World Trade Center was legendary. Even the co-owner of the World Trade Center himself was an Israeli citizen. So even if the Jerusalem Post estimated number of Israelis at the World Trade Center was too high, the actual Israeli death toll at the World Trade Center turned out to be only one. That's right. Only one Israeli died at the World Trade Center. That, of course, is an impossibly low number unless at least some Israelis were warned prior to the impending attack. Now, who could have warned some of the Israelis at the World Trade Center? Again, we know that the Mossad was, in fact, closely monitoring the hijackers, and we can be certain that they had penetrated the leadership of al-Qaeda in many areas of the world. Carl Cameron, reporting on the Brit Hume show on the Fox News Network, revealed the existence of a huge Israeli spy ring in the United States prior to 9/11. He stated that the United States officials investigating the spy ring believe that Israel knew the details of the 9/11 attack prior to its occurrence, and that they did not share that vital information with the United States. Now, whether or not Israel actually engineered the attacks of the Mossad or simply knew about them in advance and did not warn the United States, Sharon and Israel must be held accountable for the deaths of these thousands of Americans in the September attacks. By purposefully not warning American authorities and letting the attacks go on, Israel committed one of the worst acts of treachery in the history of nations. When the radical Jewish supremacist and Israeli leader, Benjamin Netanyahu, was asked by the New York Times what he thought of the attack, he blurted out, "It's very good," unquote, but then edited his comments by saying, "Well, not very good, but in the flames and the death and rubble of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, Israel got everything it wanted. The Palestinians on the verge of their internationally recognized state were set back many years in their efforts for freedom. Thousands of Palestinians have been killed. Thousands of homes destroyed. Tens of thousands of Palestinians have been imprisoned and tortured, and America is now poised to go to war against Israel's enemies. And the plans are to attack not just al-Qaeda, but Iran and Iraq as well." And Ariel Sharon has been free to commit unrestrained crimes against the Palestinian people with no fear of any serious reprisals from the United States or anyone else. And of course, Sharon has done just that. A perfect example of what Israel can do since the 9/11 attack is their own attack on Jenin. Sending dozens of explosive missiles, sending helicopter gunships firing millions of rounds of high-powered ammunition into the densely packed city. The massive bulldozing of homes and schools and offices. The detention and torture of hundreds of Palestinians. And then not letting in ambulance and relief services while hundreds of civilians were hurt and wounded. Israel has committed massive war crimes and crimes against humanity. In the United States, we're still not getting the full story of Jenin. The American-Israeli partisan press is not the least bit suspicious that Israel had banned any press from the city and wouldn't allow anyone into the city for many days while they worked to cover up the evidence of their crimes against humanity. And in fact, Israel also stated that they were going to remove the bodies themselves and bury them. Obviously, a tremendous effort at covering up these atrocities has been made by Israel. But some of the world's press is getting the truth. Reporter Phil Reeves from the very respected newspaper, The Independent London, filed this report, and I quote, I will quote excerpts from his report. A monstrous war crime that Israel has tried to cover up for a fortnight has finally been exposed. Its troops have caused devastation in the center of Jenin refugee camp, reached yesterday by the Independent, where thousands of people are still living amid the ruins. The sweet and ghastly smell of rotting human corpses is everywhere, evidence that it is a human tomb. The people who spent days hiding in basements, crowded into single rooms as the rockets pounded in, say there are hundreds of corpses entombed beneath the dust, under a field of debris, crisscrossed with tank and bulldozer tread marks. A quiet, sad-looking young man led us across the wasteland, littered now with the detritus of what were once households, foam rubber, torn clothes, shoes, tin cans, children's toys. He suddenly stopped. This was a mass grave, he said, pointing. We could not see the bodies, but we could smell them. Until 2 weeks ago, there were several hundred tightly packed homes in this neighborhood. They no longer exist. Around the central ruins, there are many hundreds of half-wrecked homes. Much of the camp, once home to 15,000 Palestinian refugees from the 1948 war, is falling down. Every wall is speckled and torn with bullet holes and shrapnel, testimony of the awesome random firepower of Cobra and Apache helicopters that hovered over the camp. Building after building has been torn apart, their contents spewed out into the road. Every other building bears the giant, charred impact mark of a helicopter missile. Last night, there were still many families and weeping children living amid the ruins, cut off from humanitarian aid. Ominously, we found no wounded. Israel was still trying to conceal these scenes yesterday. It had refused entry to Red Cross ambulances for nearly a week in violation of the Geneva Convention. Yesterday, it continued to try and keep us out. Hidden, whispering people directed us through narrow alleys they thought were clear. When there were soldiers about, a finger would raise in warning, or a hand waved us back. We were welcomed by people desperate to tell what had happened. They spoke of executions and bulldozers wrecking homes with people inside. Rajib Ahmed from the Palestinian Energy Authority came to try to repair the power lines. He was trembling with fury and shock. This is mass murder. All had the same message. Tell the world. That's the end of the quotation. Ariel Sharon is the world's terrorist, the world's worst terrorist. And as I've said, he's killed many more thousands of people than Osama bin Laden. And he's wounded and tortured hundreds of thousands more than bin Laden. The shocking evidence is also clear that Sharon not only has responsibility for the murders at Sabra and Shatila, but also for the September 11 attacks against the United States. Just as he was fully aware of the murderous intentions of the Falangists in the Sabra and Shatila massacre, he was also aware and had advanced knowledge of the September 11 massacre of thousands of Americans. Prior warnings to Israelis of the World Trade Center prove that fact. Only American traitors would cover up the treacherous role of Israel in the September 11 attacks. Only traitors would not prosecute over 100 captured Israeli spies and then send them back to Israel so the truth of Israeli's treacherous role in the attacks could be hidden. Only traitors would lend American support to Israel's horrible crimes against the Palestinian people. Crimes against humanity. Crimes that not only are a strike against the American sense of justice, but crimes that damage our country all over the world and make us subject to have our children suffer from terrorism in the future. I tremble for America, my country. I anguish over our loss of independence and freedom lost to Jewish supremacists such as the mass murderer and war criminal Ariel Sharon and those Jewish supremacists and American traitors who support him. I pray for justice, and I pray for peace. My heart goes out to the tens of thousands of unnamed Palestinians who suffer at this moment in their beloved land. I also pray for those innocent Jews who are paying the price for the terrorism of Sharon and other Jewish supremacists. And I pray for the American people that we may break this treason against our nation, that we may stop this betrayal of all the lofty founding principles of America. God bless you all. This has been David Duke sharing my latest thoughts.